Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you for joining us. Always a pleasure to be part of your day. Thank you for being part of mine. 800-531-3815. Toll free coast to coast. 800-531-3815. Adam Thierer is our guest and our good friend. Adam is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's director of telecommunications studies at the Cato Institute. He's the co-author, along with Wayne Cruz, of Copy Fights, which is a book that we've talked about on the show before. And he's joined us today to talk to us about the recent FCC ruling. Adam, welcome back.
Nice to be back.
It's good to have you back, as always. Adam, do us a favor and take us back. Well, let me say this. There was a recent FCC ruling that basically was just another edit, so to speak, to something that happened in 1996. Why don't you take us back and tell us what that was?
Well, of course, in 1996, there was the passage of the Telecommunications Act of 1996, and that was a major effort to attempt to try to liberalize the telecom and media marketplace.
Right.
Of course, the reality of that bill was that it was a far more sort of micromanaged and nuanced approach to deregulation. I've even gone so far as to label it deregulatory industrial policy. Now, that's sort of an oxymoron, of course, because if you have true deregulation, you don't really have, you know, industrial policies going along with it. But that's exactly what we had. We had an effort by the government to say, we like the idea of competition and free markets and deregulation, but we're going to make sure there's a lot of safeguards in place and a lot of other transitional rules to make sure everything goes just fine and dandy.
Mm-hmm.
So there were a number of rules in there about telecom and cable and everything else, but there were also some rules governing media ownership and media business structures. Things like how many radio stations or television stations can a company own, or can a newspaper and a broadcaster ever get together in the same market, or a broadcaster and a cable company, so on and so forth. Well, some of those rules were slightly relaxed, and then there was about 6 or 7 years went by, and you started seeing somewhat of an uptick in merger activity, specifically in radio. But then a lot of these rules started being challenged because it was a question about, well, in a marketplace of emerging competition and choices like we see in the media world, do any of these rules need to be in place at all?
Mm-hmm.
And when challenged in the courts made some very interesting observations, not only about the state of competition in the marketplace, saying, yes, indeed, it is more competitive than ever before, but also this, that when you're talking about regulating media, and specifically even regulating underlying business structures, you could run afoul of the First Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you regulate the number of stations that a broadcaster can own, for example, that's sort of like telling a newspaper how many printing presses they can own.
Right.
And that would be a clear violation of the First Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the difference in the world of broadcasting?
Mm-hmm.
So on grounds like that, the courts have started saying, and again in a number of cases, these rules have got to go entirely. That's not what the FCC did, however, last Monday. Last Monday they basically said, we're going to tweak these rules to try to rationalize them for this new media marketplace, by slightly relaxing most of them, not all of them. In fact, a couple of them were retained or tightened. But most of them were just slightly tweaked to further relax ownership structures and merger rules.
And Cato thinks that's a good thing.
Yeah, we don't really have a problem with that. Of course, if there is a problem with market power in the media world or any other for that matter, you know, the better answer here would be for someone to file an antitrust suit the same way they would if there was a problem in the oil industry or the soda pop market.
Right.
I mean, that's the way we traditionally govern these market power issues.
Well, that's an issue I want to talk about in just a little bit. But one of the things, as I said earlier before you got here, Adam, my free market side is a fellow traveler with you and Cato.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I also operate in this industry.
Sure.
I syndicate my radio show around the country, but I'm also an independent.
Mm-hmm.
I own my own property. I'm not an employee, and I'm not part of a larger network. Well, if more and more, if the larger networks, like Clear Channel, for example, is able to buy up 60-70%, those kinds of organizations are able to buy up 60-70% of the outlets, and then they put on, you know, maybe in the entire country, and I'm being a little bit facetious here, but not too much, you know. Ultimately, you know, the only in way over half of the radio stations out there, we're all hearing the same stuff wherever you go. Is that a good thing? Is that serving the public?
Well, I don't think that's going to happen. You know, I think.
But it's already happening, Adam.
Well, in the question of radio, for example, there's always been concerns about, you know, how much consolidation is too much. But even if you look at the question of Clear Channel, Clear Channel still doesn't even own 10% of the total aggregate radio marketplace.
Now, but of course there are more than one Clear Channel. I mean, in other words, there's Clear Channel, and then there are a number of others.
And there's Infinity and stuff like that.
Yeah, those guys that ultimately own quite a few media outlets,
sure,
not just radio stations.
There's no doubt about that. But to put things in perspective, of course, with Clear Channel still not even at 10%, and they being the biggest of all of them, one wonders, you know, is that too big? And who determines, quote unquote, what too big is? And in the world of modern media, if you do have other alternatives on the dial or somewhere else besides the dial, say by going to satellite radio or to alternative forms of media,
mm-hmm.
Well, then the question is, what is your standard of review? And is it just some arbitrary determination that says, well, a company can't own more than a couple of radio stations in any given market? Well, the problem with that is that in some cases, there might be, especially in a lot of smaller markets, there might be cases where some smaller stations would just go out of business if not merging with someone else or being
mm-hmm.
taken over.
Mm-hmm.
We know that happens in newspaper quite a lot because that's more of a dying industry.
Right.
A lot of smaller newspapers have been merged into larger ones in some communities. Now, people say, that's terrible. There's only one source of news now. Well, not necessarily. First of all, there still is competition in most markets. But secondly, in some cases, the choice is either that source of news and information goes out of business entirely, or it's taken over by somebody else, or it's merged into another an entity.
Adam,
so in some cases, it's a question of sort of do or die, and in that case, I think it's definitely better. That we
hold on to that thought, Adam,
sure.
And we're going to have to take a break. Folks, here's a tongue-in-cheek press release that I got in. Adam, here's the first paragraph. Washington, D.C., the Federal Communications Commission announced today that it has agreed to be acquired by Clear Channel Communications of San Antonio, Texas. I love it. 20 tails, 20 after, actually. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Back is 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. Adam Thierer is our guest and our good friend. He's with the Cato Institute. He's Director of Telecommunication Studies over there. And we're talking about the most recent FCC ruling, which was another edition of the another saga in the 1996 Telecommunications Act world. And Adam, by the way, remind us about Cato and tell us where your website is.
Sure. Cato is a nonprofit think tank in Washington, D.C. We've been around now 25 years. Our website is www.cato.org. That's C-A-T-O.org. And all of our papers and information on this issue or any other can be found on our website and downloaded free of charge.
And, folks, if you subscribe to the free market theories, which I do, You want to go there and check it out and find out some about your fellow travelers. If you don't, you need to go there and find out what the enemy's up to. Adam, they're not enemies, folks. They're great guys. Adam, the one of the things that's happening all over the country, as you know, newsprint prices are going up, and it's costing more and more to produce the news in print. Readership is probably down. It's creating problems for mom and pop, or I should say local newspapers, and so they're selling out to the syndicates and And my newspaper, my local newspaper, is owned by New York Times now and has been for a few years, et cetera, et cetera. Probably, I don't know, I'm going to say 60% of the radio stations in my market are owned by one of the big companies, Clear Channel or one of those guys. And, you know, how far is this going to go? Is it going to wind up being where almost nothing in our local markets is from the local market? It's all been manufactured, pasteurized, homogenized, and regurgitated out to the masses?
No, I don't think so, because frankly, so long as Americans and all citizens demand local news, weather, sports, traffic, entertainment, so on and so forth, so long as that feeling survives and that desire survives, someone is going to need to be there to provide it. It can't be force-fed from above. Now, has there been a movement towards more and more national types of fare and programming across media? I think you can make a very compelling case that yes, indeed it has, but this is an interesting question. Are we as a culture or as a society moving towards that voluntarily by choice? You know, you look at something in the newspaper world like the rise of USA Today, which initially a lot of people bucked that trend and said, this is a joke, this is the McDonaldization of news.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But hey, a lot of people read the USA Today.
Right.
And they like
well,
the fact
and
that no matter where they go, they can get
it. Of course, it really became an outstanding paper for the traveler, too, especially
mm-hmm.
people who travel. But all right, let me ask you this question, though. You talked a minute ago about, for example, let's take the banking industry. The more and more of the larger banks are buying up smaller banks, but guess what? The cool thing is banks are popping up. New smaller banks are popping up to fill that need, and you're exactly right. But when it comes to radio, let's say, or television, we've got to get permission to go on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not easy to do.
That's right.
So you see what I mean? There's a
Absolutely.
Certain there are certain restrictions that prevent me. Let's say that I wanted to go and open up 100 stations around the world just to play the programming that I thought ought to be on there. I've got to get permission. Who have I got to get permission from?
From the FCC.
Exactly.
Yeah, and this is a problem. This is an excellent criticism, but the real problem there is the underlying nature of the regulatory system that requires you to go out and get these extremely expensive radio licenses to begin with.
Right.
Now you could say, well, we're never going to get away from the idea of licensing radio and television, so on and so forth. Well, I don't know about that. There was actually a very interesting debate just a few years ago about the question of low-power radio or community micro-radio.
Mm-hmm.
And the FCC and a lot of larger broadcasters sort of quashed that debate and said, nope, if you're going to be a player in this game, you've always got to get a license. Even though there were technologies on the table that would have made it possible in a very small community sense
mm-hmm.
for anybody to start their own radio station.
Right.
Now, it wouldn't have been a very big radio station, but it would have been a little one. It would have been something. And so, you know, there are questions out there about the regulatory barriers to competition.
That's the other side of this issue that a lot of people don't take into consideration.
That's true.
That really limit the argument about total open competition.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah, and in fact, that's the best counter criticism to the points that I'm making about we should allow for a free market to exist here is by
right.
someone saying, well, we don't have a true free market here because these guys are licensed, that it's all heavily regulated, and therefore
mm-hmm.
special rules have to apply. The counter-argument to that counter-argument is, well, two wrongs don't make a right, and that's an endless sort of vicious death cycle.
Right.
We just endlessly end up regulating to death.
Right. Adam, I got less than a minute. How long is it going to be before this is going to wind up in antitrust court?
Well, they're going to wind up in court no matter what, whether it's an antitrust court or some other. It just depends on who files what suit first. But the funny thing is, the FCC is getting a lot of heat for this decision. All of this was thrown under their laps by the courts, and it will ultimately land back in the courts. And at the end of the day, as is so often and unfortunately the case in America, litigation is going to decide what these rules ultimately look like.
Yeah, instead of the marketplace.
Yep.
But also look for technology, folks.
Absolutely.
Look for technology to make a lot of this moot. And I'm anxiously looking into those kinds of things myself. Adam Thierer, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thank you very much.
Adam Thierer, ladies and gentlemen, our good friend from the Cato Institute. He's director of telecommunication studies there. Don't forget cato.org. We'll get Adam back another day real soon. Quick break, right back with Wally Bach. It's 29 after. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Come down off your throne and leave your body alone.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.